RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, and give yourselves a round of applause, Western New York. What a gorgeous weekend, man. Just unbelievable after some of the torrential rains we've had this year, miserable weather, a little cold on Friday, a little cool on Friday, I should say, but yes, yesterday was gorgeous. Today's looking even better, so enjoy this one today, Western New York. You guys deserve it. Coming up on today's show, we got lots to talk about. NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, local racing. We're going to try and hit it all today. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk to Alan Cavana from Fox Sports, the SU grad, Buffalo Bills fan. He is going to join us here in about 12 minutes or so to talk about all things NASCAR. And as the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series is in Pocono today for today's Overton's 400, which you'll hear right here on WGR, coverage coming up just after 2 o'clock, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. And kind of a different schedule this week for the Cup Series, as they are qualifying and racing on Sunday. It's been, I don't even know if this has ever happened in recent memory, with the Cup Series qualifying and racing on the same day. But as we're on the air, the second half of the show, 11:30, that's when qualifying starts at Pocono. So we'll try and keep you updated on who will be possibly on the pole for today's race. And then a green flag just after 3 o'clock this afternoon. So we'll talk to Alan Cavana from Fox Sports about today's race at Pocono, some silly season moves this week, and we'll touch all the bases with him. Also coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll revisit last week's race at the Brickyard for NASCAR, plus some more stuff relating to Indianapolis with Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star. Jim covers motorsports for that paper. Been a busy week for him, as not only covering the Brickyard 400 last Sunday, but also this week IndyCar debuting a new car for 2018, a little bit sleeker, a little more safer. It looks real good. They did some on-track testing, and the folks from IndyCar were very pleased with the results. So we'll talk to Jim about that. Plus, he's at Mid-Ohio today for today's IndyCar race over at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Complex. So a busy weekend of racing, and we'd love to hear from you as well, too. Phone lines are open here, 803-0551. 888-552-550. Phone lines are open. If you want to jump in on anything going on in the world of motorsports, please feel free to share on this beautiful Sunday morning. Also, we're on Twitter at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. Just six shows to go here on the season, including today's show. As you heard in the update, of course, Bill's training camp in full swing. Nate and Sal will be coming live from camp after we're off the air. So, you know, now that training camp has started for the Bills, you know, our time is almost up. So, you got today plus five more Sundays to spend with us, here on WGR. So, hope, you enjoy the program today. Starting out last weekend in Indianapolis, the Brickyard 400, what a crazy race. But I'll tell you what, as much as you don't like to see crashes and guys potentially get hurt, you know what? That was a fun year Brickyard. That was maybe the funnest Brickyard 400 in quite a few seasons, just because of how nutso it got there at the end. I mean, it was your typical Brickyard 400 for the good first, you know, two-thirds or so of the race, until that restart when Kyle Busch tried to go to the inside of Martin Truex and wound up taking those two out and totally changed the course of that race, because it was just the 18 and the 78 stinking up the show like they do a lot, because they're the two strong performing cars, obviously. But those two were just dominating the day, and it looked like it was maybe going to just be them blowing everybody's doors off. But then, Kyle got aggressive on the restart. And after that, everybody just kind of lost their minds for the last 50 laps, because restarts became very crucial. That's obviously the best opportunity to, to complete a pass. And then we saw some big wrecks and some crazy incidents inside those final 50 laps or so. You had the big crash on the front stretch with Clint Bowyer and Kurt Busch. That was a scary hit for Kurt Busch, especially when you see it from that helmet cam footage as he T-boned Bowyer on the front straightaway. And then they went back to racing, and then Kyle Larson's car hit the wall. He started on fire. Then they went back to racing again. And then Jimmy Johnson, how about the effort he made trying to go three wide? Looked like the car was blowing up. He was going three wide with Keselowski and Blaney there, and he spun out. And then you slid two more wrecks after that. You had the botched start with Trevor Bayne and a couple other cars piling up as they tried to restart the race for the first overtime attempt. And then in overtime on the back straightaway, you had the big crash as Denny Hamlin getting together with Paul Menard and others, and an insane final stretch. And it obviously dragged the race out, unfortunately, as the race went over 6, maybe even 7 hours because of the rain delay early in the race, and then all of these wrecks that required lengthy cleanups at the end. And eventually they were running out of daylight there at the Brigard because no lights. And Casey Kane wound up winning the race. How about that? For all the talk about his future with Hendrick Motorsports, and will he be bought out? Will he be back in the five car next year? Is it too little, too late though for the five team and Casey Kane? But managed to get the win. He and Keith Rodden, they called a great race. Casey was one of the cars trying to stretch it there on fuel before all the accidents happened in those final 20 laps or so. They came down pit road with about 20 to go, and that really set them up beautifully with all the cautions, put them at the front of the field for those final restarts, and he held off Brad Keselowski to get the win. And Kane becomes the 12th different driver to win in the Cup Series this year, and continues to put a further crunch on those guys trying to get in those final few spots. And we're now down to only 4 drivers that can make the playoffs on points here with, about 6-7 races to go in the regular season. And Matt Kenseth continues to just kind of pad himself. He's been on the bubble, and even after Denny Hamlin winning, and now Casey winning, he continues to be that bubble driver in on points. And that bubble's getting bigger for Matt, because now he's up 33 points on the next driver not in on points, which would be Clint Bowyer now. And, Matt's almost got a race worth of a buffer over Clint Bowyer and the rest of the drivers trying to make it in on points. So if it stays at 12 winners for the rest of the year, nobody else gets their first win of the season, Matt could be sitting pretty unless he has a total meltdown in these final few races. But another winner or two, and he could be the next one scrambling for a position. But I'll tell you, the worst, as crazy and as fun as the Brickyard 400 was, I didn't like the finish because of the overtime line. I like the overtime concept. The race must finish under green, white checkered, must finish under green. I love that. I know people want to, a lot of talk this week, people want to revert back to how they used to do it, where you run the advertised distance of the race no matter what. And if you end under caution, big deal. That's how we did it for, 50, 60 years. I get that. But I like that they get to finish under green. What I don't like is the overtime line that they've brought in the last year or so. I thought they had it fine with the overtimes, the overtime rule as it was. If you only want to do it 3 times, fine. But try and finish the race under green. But I think the overtime line is just put in the most ridiculous spot on the racetrack. You can barely get a lap in before you cross the overtime line. And then NASCAR maybe they didn't do it on purpose, but the wreck happened on the last lap there at Denny Hamlin, and the five car hadn't hit the overtime line, and really they could have put the caution out before the five hit the overtime line, and they didn't. They waited for whatever reason, whether it they just wanted to get the race over with because it was getting dark, or if they were waiting to see if they could try and finish the race despite whatever was going on behind the leaders, and they put it out after he crossed the overtime line. And I think the overtime line is ridiculous because it's such a short window to try and get the overtime finished. And, you know, I wish they would just go back to, you know, three attempts or unlimited attempts even at a green-white checker. And as long as they haven't taken the white flag, I understand, you know, after they take the white flag and a caution happens and you want to end the race, they're fine. But, you know, the overtime line is ridiculous. Let them get a full lap at least to try and get back to the white, you know, and then if stuff happens on the last lap, if the leaders are past it, then they can at least race back to the checkered flag, or if it's an emergency, then you put it out and have them race put out the caution and end the race there. But at least let them get to the white flag instead of this half lap, two-thirds of a lap. You know, even at a big track like in Indianapolis, I still thought it was ridiculous. You know, maybe the restrictor plate tracks maybe you keep it for the overtime line rule for the restrictor plate tracks, just because those tracks have the propensity to create bigger wrecks that, you know, could possibly lead to injuries. But I think get rid of the overtime line and go back to how it first was, where you got three attempts on the green-white checker, and you know, and if they take the white flag and then the yellow flag comes out after the white comes out, you end the race, fine. That's how I'd be with it. But I think the overtime line is just garbage. And it was the drivers that came up with it, too. It was the drivers' council that, you know, talked NASCAR into doing this rule after kind of the fiasco at Talladega a couple years ago. And now drivers complain about it, and it was their idea, especially Brad Keselowski. So I would just do away with the overtime line. Go back to how it was. If you really want to go back and just finish racing under caution, fine. But I would rather stick with the overtime plan and just ditch the line there. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. But again, huge win for Casey Kane. Now he's got himself in the chase. Will he be much of a factor? We'll wait and see. He was the only Hendrick car to kind of survive the day at Indianapolis last week. Jimmy Johnson, of course, had his late race spin. Dale Jr. Hit the wall, or got the front end knocked in, and it kind of blew up the radiator on the 88 car. And then Chase Elliott was involved in the crash. So for once, it was the 5 car, you know, getting the best finish out of all the Hendrick cars. Already this weekend, some exciting news for racing fans in the Northeast over at Pocono with the Xfinity race yesterday. How about Ryan Preece getting his first career Xfinity Series victory yesterday? Iowa. He won the race at Iowa. The trucks were at Pocono yesterday. That's where I got confused, because I caught the end of the truck race yesterday. Didn't get to see much of the Xfinity Series race. But yeah, at Iowa yesterday, Ryan Preece from Connecticut, getting the win. Actually, remember we had David Gravel on a couple weeks ago. He actually gave Ryan a shout out after his strong run at Kentucky allowed New Hampshire with his first start in the Joe Gibbs Racing entry. And then he comes back at Iowa yesterday, wins the pole, and wins the race for his first career Xfinity Series race. Great to see for Ryan. Of course, last year he ran a modified race in Lancaster. We had him on the show last year. And, you know, last year he was driving full time with the JD Motorsports team, which is kind of one of the lower end teams on the Xfinity Series. This year, opted not to run with that team again. He wanted to find better equipment and wasn't running full time the Xfinity Series, doing the modified thing again, running NASCAR modified races and some other touring series in the Northeast. But then this deal comes along to drive two races for Joe Gibbs Racing. I would assume Ryan, it appears, just judging by the sponsors on the car, that Ryan must have brought some money to this deal because of seeing Mohawk Northeast on the car and Falmouth Ready Mix and some other New England-based sponsors. I'm assuming that maybe Ryan had to bring some money to the deal. But still, fantastic, showing what a talent, you know, that young man is. Obviously, it helps being in top-flight equipment, but if you're in that car, then you should win. And, you know, Ryan did yesterday, so I thought that was great to see a modified guy getting some success on the national level. You know, so much of the driver talent these days in NASCAR comes from the sprint car world and late models. You know, in the 80s, the modifieds were the hot brand of racing to bring drivers up, whether it's the Bodines or the Bouchards, you know, back then. But we haven't had a lot of national level success for modified drivers in recent years. So it was good to see Ryan Preece get the win yesterday at Iowa in the standalone Xfinity Series race, not Pocono, as I incorrectly identified it earlier. Let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in from Fox Sports and NASCAR Race Hub, Alan Cavana joins us once again. Alan, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be on. Love Buffalo. Love the Northeast. That's where I'm from, obviously, as you know. It's good to be on, and go Bills.
Yeah, like we were just talking about, Ryan Preece getting the win in the Xfinity Series race yesterday. A great day for your home state of Connecticut, Alan.
Absolutely, and it's good to see a young driver get an opportunity like that. And I heard you talking about it. You were right. He had to bring money. He had a choice. He had hundreds of thousands of dollars in sponsorship money. This is how the sport works nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
He could have probably done 8 to 10 races for a smaller team in a much slower car with worse equipment, or he could have done 2 with Joe Gibbs Racing. And in those 2 races, he finished 2nd and 1st. It's a tough choice for him because those may be the only 2 races he gets this year, but he bet on himself and he went out and won. And you know, you always wonder if it's driver or equipment. I guarantee you there are many, many drivers who could have gone in that car and not won that race yesterday. So I always tip the scales at least 51-49 toward the driver, if not more 60-40. But Ryan Preece did what he had to do in the equipment that he earned and got the win yesterday. It was really cool to see for a young driver.
Yeah, I mean, he showed last year, too, in the 0-1 that he could have some good runs in that type of equipment. You know, even at Mid-Ohio in the rain last year, he was running up front a little bit, too. So he showed some flashes last year, and I knew if he was in the right equipment, he could excel, and he did that yesterday.
Absolutely, and that's what's so tough. I mean, you look at the field today in the Monster Cup Series race, you know, that we'll have on level C at Pocono. There's no bad drivers. It's just that not everyone is in the same equipment with the same level of funding. You know, all these drivers, as they come from the local level, they're all good where they're from. And mm-hmm. coming up through the ranks, it's tough to get that funding. Not everyone is at equal equipment. So when you do see someone in superior equipment and see what they can do with it, you get a much better appreciation for the talent that really is out there.
Alan, let's talk about today here at Pocono and the first time this season we're trying out this new schedule with qualifying and the race for the Cup Series on the same day. We see it a lot with the Xfinity and the Truck Series, of course, but what do you think about it applying the schedule to the Cup Series today at Pocono and also next weekend at Watkins Glen?
Yeah, it's something different, and you know, it's odd to talk. You know, we're talking before the race. I can't even really handicap the field too much because we don't know who's on the pole yet. They're starting about 12 minutes to start qualifying and everything. But, you know, I think it's a good experiment. NASCAR needs to try different things, and they want to try different things, whether it be, you know, for the TV networks that have some suggestions or for the fan experience. You know, if you're a fan there, you really get a full day. Remember, the race doesn't start until 3 o'clock. If you're a fan, you can get there, what, 8, 9 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
qualifying. You see your Cup stars on the track for, you know, more than you would the normal price of a ticket. There's going to be goods and bads to it, of course, but, you know, it's good that they're experimenting. And I know that the teams that are involved, the teams and the drivers and the mechanics and everybody who are on the road 38 weeks a year, they like the extra day at home that they don't normally have. They get to, you know, travel to the track on Friday. So there's a balance for everyone involved in the sport, and that's what NASCAR is trying to figure out right now.
Of course, the best news is that weather doesn't appear to be impacting the schedule at all this weekend at Pocono. I think last year both of their races were postponed to Monday, and this year the Dalsky family and the folks there at Pocono, they seem to have hit the jackpot with the weather here in 2017.
Yeah, it's always a dice roll up there. I remember last year it went to Monday, and then the race ended because of the fog came in. It was like a horror movie. Well, not really a horror movie. Not for Chris Buescher anyway. Young Chris Buescher ended up getting the win because the fog rolled in. Look, that's what's tough. That's what makes NASCAR unique in terms of it can be affected by the weather. You can be that fan that goes and has the unfortunate experience of having a rainout. It's one of the challenges for NASCAR. So when the Lord is smiling and has sunshine at Pocono, and for the nicest day apparently reported there in a long time, you know, chalk one up in the good column for NASCAR fans because they're going to have a great day out there.
Well, you said you couldn't really handicap the field because we haven't done qualifying yet, but I'm going to ask you to try and do it anyway. The Ganassi cars and the Gibbs cars topped the final practice charts. And Kyle Larson, obviously, looking to get the points lead back for Martin Truex without seeing qualifying. Who are some of the drivers you're going to be watching today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd be foolish to pick against the two Kyles, Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson. Larson is good everywhere. Kyle Busch, I mean, has almost been Kyle Larson, just doesn't have the wins yet. I mean, all the second-place finishes that and so close calls that Kyle Busch has and the woulda, coulda, shouldas. You'd be foolish not to pick Kyle Busch, and I think it's one of the one few tracks he has never won at, which is certainly something he wants to, in Cup anyway, that he wants to check off the list. Kyle, and Martin Truex Jr. would have to be the three favorites just about any weekend this year. And then you got to go into the long shot. So the desperation, the people who really need something to happen. I'm thinking like Clint Bowyer and Joey Logano. If I had to pick between those two drivers, I think Logano has a good day in Pocono.
Of course, the most recent winner at Pocono, Ryan Blaney, part of some major news this week, Alan. The silly season went into full effect this week, and we got a few more seats for 2018 sewed up. Brad Keselowski re-upping with Penske, Blaney going to Penske in a third car, and then Paul Menard, the maybe the biggest move that is him going from RCR. He'll be taking over the 21 car at the Wood Brothers in 2018. What did you think of the silly season moves this week?
Yeah, we covered this fully on Race Up. It was a big story this week on FS1 in terms of, look, Blaney has never been very far outside of the Penske umbrella. We've known that. But to make the decision to bring, you know, a full third team and expand like that, that's a huge decision for a team. I mean, that means hiring more personnel, more of everything, and that means more sponsorship, which they haven't announced yet. But they wouldn't do it without having at least something in place. I would expect some Menard branding to be on the Blaney car, at least for some of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like a positive for everybody. I mean, having Blaney under the umbrella, think of the three drivers they have, Logano, Keselowski, and Ryan Blaney, tied up for the next few years. Average age of those drivers, 27 years old. They are good, and they are young and fast all at the same time. That is not a combination we see much in NASCAR. Roger Penske has been doing his homework. Very good.
Of course, Alan of Fox Sports, the home for the Camperwheel Truck Series. They had the race yesterday from Pocono, and Christopher Bell picking up his third win of the year. Who do you think lands in the Cup Series first? Not maybe based on talent, but maybe based on open seats. But who do you think graduates out of the Truck Series first, Christopher Bell or William Byron? Who do you think we'll see in a Cup car first?
Oh, that's tough. That's a great question. Only because they're you know, manufacturers. Toyota can come in and sort of pull some strings, and much like Chevy could if they wanted to. But Toyota does more of that in the racing world, if you will. Don't forget that with Eric Jones moving over to the 20 car for racing, that leaves the 77 car open. There's still some questions up in the air. Will they even run the 77 car next year? You know, there has to be sponsorship. There has to be a driver. And it's a Toyota ride, obviously. So the next thing to come up, I mean, the next driver in the Toyota pipeline, you'd have to imagine, would be Christopher Bell. And there seems to be a seat open if they could make it work financially. What we can say is if there's a seat open for William Byron right now on
right.
the Chevy side, on the Hendricks side, there are still some rumors out there about the five. Casey Kane says he is signed through 2018. You never know what that actually means. You know, just because he signed doesn't mean he'll actually drive the car. You know, he may just get paid and to do something else. I'm just speculating, but there is a lot of talk in the garage. But that's a great question. Byron or Bell? You know, you've heard speculation that if the five comes open, why wouldn't you move William Byron up? That would be what I would say. Why wouldn't you put William Byron in a car? If I was a GM and I had to pick between the two, I would pick William Byron for Cup readiness over Christopher Bell at the moment.
All right. Alan Cavana from Fox Sports. Are you pushing for an assignment next weekend at Watkins Glen so you can sneak over to Bill's training camp?
Push for it. I already got it.
All right.
Man, I can't wait. No, I love Watkins Glen. Love that time of the year. And, I guess you did point out the Bills will be the same time over up in Rochester, right?
Yep, at St. John Fisher.
Yeah, can't wait. I went there one time in the early 2000s and remember seeing Drew Bledsoe and Travis Henry run by, and the team's a lot better than they were. So I'm hopeful for this year. I'm always hopeful as a Bills fan. I'm hoping for good things this year.
NASCAR Race Hub, you can catch it weekdays at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. That's where you can see Mr. Kavanaugh's smiling face on your TV. You can also find him on Twitter, at Copa Kavanaugh. Alan, hopefully run into you at the Media Center next Sunday at Watkins Glen, and thank you for the time this morning.
Look forward to it. Always enjoy coming on, and watch NASCAR Race Hub, and go Bills.
All right, take care, Alan.
See ya.
Alan Kavanaugh, Fox Sports 1, SU grad, and one of the many Bills fans in the NASCAR garage. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about last week's Brickyard Race and also look ahead to 2018 for the IndyCar Series with Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star. That's coming up next here on Fast Track.
Hi, this is Dylan Hart Jr., driver of the Nationwide Exalta Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Final start at Pocono coming up for Junebug. Won there recently. Could he shock the world here and get a win and qualify for the playoffs here in his final season? Might be one of his last best bets to do it here in the 2017 regular season. Qualifying underway for the Cup Series at Pocono right now. Just a few cars taking to the track in round one. It's the traditional knockout qualifying. So, but that is going on right now, and we'll try and keep you updated here for the rest of our hour here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track, in case I didn't mention that. Coming up again at the top of the hour, we'll hand things off to Sal Capaccio and Nate Geary live from Bills Camp at St. John Fisher. And only four cars on track right now in the opening round of qualifying: Ryan Blaney, Casey Kane, Paul Menard, and Eric Almirola. So still lots to do over there at Pocono for today's Overton's 400, which again you'll hear right here on WGR after Sal and Nate are done at 2 o'clock. The Motor Racing Network will pick up the broadcasting baton and take you flag to flag for today's race from Pocono. We're going to be talking to Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star here in just a minute. IndyCar at Mid-Ohio today for the Honda Indy 200. Will Power is on the pole. Joseph Newgarden will share the front row with him. Takuma Sato, Graham Rahal, Elio Castroneves, Scott Dixon, Simon Pagenaud, James Hinchcliffe, and Ryan Hunter-Reay are your top 10 starters today at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Complex for the Verizon IndyCar Series. And with that, we'll go to the AT&T hotline and bring in from the Indianapolis Star, Jim Aiello joins us on the line. Jim, it's always great to get some new guests here on the program. Thank you for the time this morning. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Are you at Mid-Ohio right now?
I am. Can you hear the cars behind me?
No, that'll be a cool effect, though, if we hear it in the background. No, but great to talk to you. Before we get to IndyCar, Jim, real quick, we'll just swing back to last Sunday. Of course, you covered the Brickyard 400 for NASCAR there at Indianapolis. And, it was a lot more entertaining race than the last few Brickyard 400s. Things certainly got nuts there at the end with all those crashes. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it was. Entertaining is probably the right way to put it. I don't know that it was necessarily great racing, but it was interesting to watch after, you know, the 6-hour affair that we had there. But yeah, lots of crashes and made for some interesting restarts. Unfortunately, by the end, it was couldn't really get a lot of racing done, but we did get a winner, so we got it before it got too dark, so I guess that was good.
Is the reputation for that race in the Indianapolis market, is it as down as it is nationally, it seems, with NASCAR fans? What is the reputation of that race with the local fan base there at the Brickyard?
It's not great. I mean, honestly, everybody that I've spoken with, I spoke to a lot of fans during the weekend. It's just they haven't seen a lot of good racing recently. It's been kind of non-competitive with Busch running away with the last couple. And then this one was more entertaining, certainly, but I think you saw by the crowd size, and IMS does a lot too. I mean, it's a huge place. It's, 250,000 people, so the optics are never going to be good, but it didn't look like there was any more than 30 or 35,000 people in that place, so obviously the reputation isn't great. It isn't where it needs to be. They're not happy with the racing. I did talk to some fans that were happy with what they saw at the Xfinity race on Saturday and think maybe that if they made some of those changes, made the racing a little bit closer, they could bring some fans back, bring a little excitement back.
How about for next year with the race moving to September and the end of NASCAR's regular season, with it hopefully being a little bit cooler in Indianapolis that time of year? Do you think that will generate a little bit more buzz?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some fans and they're happy it'll be cooler, but that's not why they weren't coming. It wasn't because they were hot. I mean, obviously it wasn't great that it was so hot. In September should be just a little bit cooler, 7 or 8 degrees cooler. But no, the biggest reason that they were not coming because it wasn't good racing. But yeah, like I said, I mean, it should be helpful to have the race kind of be the season ender and crown a regular season champion and add a little drama to guys trying to fight to get in the chase. So it should be interesting. I'm not sure it'll bring a lot more fans in, but it should bring in some. But honestly, at the end of the day, they need to fix the racing, and that's what'll bring fans back.
And hopefully the Colts don't have their home opener the same day next year.
Yeah, the IMS has been speaking with the Colts about that and have politely requested Colts talk to the NFL about that and say, you know, maybe in 2018, maybe the Colts are away, you know, or maybe they play on Thursday night opening weekend. I mean, there's only so much the NFL or the Colts can do, and the, you know, the Colts don't really have any motivation to do that. So
yeah,
out of the kindness of their hearts to do that, but talk to Doug Bowles, president of IMS, and he said if it happens to be a home game, we'll try to do some cross promotion and we'll try to work together on making it a fun Sunday for everybody for both IMS and for the Colts.
Well, it would be easy for the NBC folks if the Colts had like Sunday night that week. They could just, you know, pick up the trucks and just drive across town, right?
Slide right on over.
I've got
some good ideas. Colts, people that bring their Colts tickets to IMS get in free or
yeah,
like that. It would be kind of an interesting little situation there, so we'll see.
Jim, well, of course, right after the NASCAR folks moved out on Sunday early this week, the IndyCar folks came back to the Brickyard, and they were showing off the new 2018 aero kit, the new 2018 car for the IndyCar series, and it seemed like it's a little more sleeker and a little more safer from you seeing it firsthand. What did you think of the new IndyCar?
You nailed two of them for sure. I think a little sexier too. Honestly, the car looks a lot like some of those cars we saw back in the '90s that just kind of looked like race cars. Like we had Graham Rahal here at Mid-Ohio was telling us that that's exactly what he thought. He's like, it just looks like a race car. He thought over the last 10 to 15 years the car kind of got uglier and uglier. And he said this is kind of a nice return to what race cars should look like. And then of course, like you said, he was very happy about the safety. Jay Fry wouldn't, president of competition for IndyCar, wouldn't go as far as to say it would have prevented the accidents that happened to James Hinchcliffe and Sebastian Bourdais, those recent bad accidents those guys got into. But he said it would have probably reduced the severity of them. So they're all excited about the enhanced protection and the side intrusion panels there. So that they're very excited about that. And they're excited about the racing, from what everybody understands and from what Oriol Servia and Juan Pablo Montoya were telling everybody, this should generate the more downforce coming from the bottom of the car should generate some closer racing, especially on street and road courses, while also not tampering with what we've seen on ovals, because the Indy 500 has been so good the last few years. They are fairly certain they haven't messed with that, and they think they're going to get a lot closer racing on street and road courses. So, I mean, it's early days, but all is looking good so far for the new car.
Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. We now can hear the race cars behind you there at Mid-Ohio. And the race today, I was reading one of your preview columns over there at the Indy Star website, and you think today shaping up to be a good day for the Penske bunch.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously now they have the front two spots. Will Power won another pole is a big surprise to nobody. And they'll be joined up there with Newgarden. And there's a couple Hondas around for sure, and there's some guys that definitely rant. Rahal in his home state can definitely have a good day today. But, yeah, Penske's just – they've been so good on road courses this year, and what we saw in practice and what we saw during qualifying was not all that surprising. Other than Simon Pagenaud, I was a little surprised he didn't make it to the Fast Six. But other than that, it was pretty much what I expected to see out of the Penske this weekend.
Coming down to the wire here for the Verizon IndyCar Series, and four drivers within shouting distance, your top four in points separated by just 20 points here with today at Mid-Ohio, and then just four races after that, including a trip up here to Watkins Glen. Can Dixon maybe fend off the invading Penske drivers atop the point standings, or how do you handicap these four drivers with just five races to go?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to those five, probably, not to discount Graham Rahal or Takuma Sato, who are right floating around there, and Rahal could throw himself back in the mix, but he'll need a lot of help with some of the other guys maybe having some bad weekends. I'm not going to say it's Dixon's championship to lose, but a guy that talented who's got the reputation of being kind of a second half surger, and this is a guy who was leading the championship in the first half, so if that's your reputation, that's pretty good. And like I said, he's won this race five times, so I hesitate saying it's his to lose, but I think Dixon is definitely the favorite going forward. And I would say Joseph Newgarden, Pagenaud, Those two guys are probably right in tier two, maybe along with Elio, depending on how how this race shapes up. But yeah, it's like I said, it's probably going to come down to the four Penske's, and Scott Dixon for the championship, which is not, like I said, it's not a big surprise to anybody when we entered the year. That's the cream of the crop.
Sure. Well, Jim, between the Brickyard and the Aero Kit test this week, I want to say I really enjoyed your content over on the IndyStar website, both in text and the videos you guys do. Is some really good viewpoints, and appreciate the content this week.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for the time. Again, great getting a chance to talk to you, and maybe will you be going to Watkins Glen later this year?
I will. I'll be there.
Well, hopefully we'll run into you up there. Thank you for the time this morning.
Anytime. Thanks very much.
All right. Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar.com, and you can also follow him on Twitter at Jim Aiello, JimAyello. And his colleagues, they do some great content, not only writing, of course, as journalists do, but in this modern age, you need to do some video content, and they do some good stuff there as well with their video work over at the IndyStar website. NASCAR qualifying still going on. Unfortunately, I don't have the graphics in front of me on the NBCSN broadcast, but at last look, Daniel Suarez was fastest in round one. If we get the graphics back up on the screen, we will pass that along. The latest updates for you there. NHRA is in Sonoma this weekend, and Leah Pritchett, your top qualifier in Top Fuel, Robert Height in Funny Car, Drew Skillman in Pro Stock. Dan Fletcher, talked about him all this year, of course, getting win number 100. Well, he got win 101 last weekend at Bandimere, Colorado. He is now up to 101 national event wins, as after going from February to July trying to go from 99 to 100, he's now gone from 100 to 101 in just a couple of weeks. So Dan Fletcher, congrats to him picking up his 101st national event career win in NHRA. 5.5 minutes left in opening round of Cup qualifying. Martin Truex right now fastest in round one. Suarez, Blaney, McMurray, Larson, your top five. Kane, Keselowski, Hamlin, Harvick, Newman, your top 10. And AJ Allmendinger right now on the bubble to advance to round two of qualifying for the Monster Energy Cup Series at Pocono. Again, today they are qualifying before the race. It is a new schedule format that they're trying out. They will do it today at Pocono, next Sunday at Watkins Glen as well, too. And then I believe at Martinsville in October is the third other time they're going to do it. Speaking of Watkins Glen, I'm going to be heading up there next weekend. Got the Race of Champions modified race Saturday night at Chemung. And since I got to be out there anyway, I'll just I got a credential from Chris Banker and the folks at Watkins Glen, and we'll be roaming around Watkins Glen International on Sunday. Unfortunately, the show will not be live next Sunday. Couldn't get the equipment from the folks here at Entercom, with training camp and everything else going on. I got the I'm on the low end of the totem pole here at WGR, so couldn't do the show live like we did for the IndyCar race last year. However, we will be scouring the garage and hopefully get you some good content, whether it's interviews for next Sunday show or stuff for the on-demand audio section and the website at WGR550.com. Just stay tuned. We will have a show next Sunday. It'll just be recorded, but hope you still tune in. We'll have some line up some good interviews. Like I said, either I'm going to do something during the week, or maybe if I can scramble and get some good stuff early Sunday morning and kind of package together and send it back here to the studio, we'll do that. But we'll be at Watkins Glen next Sunday, and hopefully you stay tuned and follow us on social media just to get all the content next weekend up there at Watkins Glen International. We come back, we'll hit the local racing roundup. Lots of great action here around Western New York and Southern Ontario. Like I said, it's been a great weekend for it. And today's looking to be just as nice. So we'll be back here to wrap up Fast Track on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan for my friends at Batavia Downs. You need to discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, as they have over 800 of the hottest and in-demand video game machines, and they're adding new titles all the time there at Batavia Downs. And not only can you go there to Batavia Downs, play those great video game machines, of course, you can check out the live harness racing action and place wagers on that. You can check out their great restaurants, and now you can even spend the night there, as they've got that fantastic hotel that just opened up within the last year at Batavia Downs. Of course, my favorite part inside Batavia Downs is 34 Rush. That's Thurman Thomas's sports bar right inside. Go in, grab yourself a bite to eat, grab a beverage, Check out Thurman's memorabilia, his Hall of Fame jacket, jerseys from when he played here in Buffalo, sports on all the HD TVs, baseball, racing, horse racing, of course, that you can wager on, the big 15-foot projection screen for big sporting events as well, too. And you can do it all from right inside there at 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is open every day from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m., and you can't miss them. They're right off the New York State Thruway, exit 48. And for more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date information on all their promotions. And discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination. And tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
We'll start Friday night Lancaster National Dragway. Frank Melvasso got the win in the Supercharged Bounty Hunters over Mike Zamuda. Mike Swinarski gets his second win of the year in Top 8. Alex Nolte's first win in Top ET. Reed Ricketson in Mod ET. Vic Puglia's former champion, Junior Dragsters in Quick 16, now racing motorcycles. He got the win in Bikes and Sleds. And John Wachowicz getting the win in Street ET. Freedom Motorsports Park on Friday night. The Modifieds, Adam Hilton getting the win over Chad Brockman and Brad Rapp. Brad Rouse, another sportsman win for him. Dennis Cummings, Street Stocks. Holden Heineman getting the win in the Mini Stocks. Ransomville Speedway Friday night. Lots of good racing, including in the Modifieds with Jesse Kotras getting the win, his second of the year. Jim Harbison, his first sportsman win. The Street Stocks had the John Susie Memorial, and what a race this was. Rob Murray and Dave Bailey, going at it for the win, and Rob Murray picking up the win after Dave Bailey cut a tire with about two laps to go, but a great race. Cole Susie and the Four Bangers, and David Fingerlow got his first novice sportsman win. Saturday night action at the Genesee Speedway. Zach Carley getting his third win of the year in the Crate Late Models. Andrew Smith getting his third win of the year in the Sportsman. Dave Dubois in the 360 Late Models. Byron DeWitt in the Street Stocks. Don Newton Jr. in the Mini Stocks. And Brooke McLean getting the win in the Bandits. Holland had an Enduro last night. Greg Krause winning that. And Bob Palmer getting the win in the Figure Eights. Lancaster National Speedway last night. Patrick Emmerling getting the win in the Sportsman in a tight race at the end there with Tommy Catalano, won by half a car length. Catalano made up for it, though. He got a win in the late models in his first late model victory. Rich Sharp getting his eighth win of the year in the Street Stocks, and Bobby Woke getting his third win of the year in the Four Bangers. Merrittville had a busy night last night. They had to make up last week's modified feature that was cut short by rain. Matt Williamson won that one. Matt has got 12 wins this year, 5 at Merrittville and 7 at Lernerville. Great year for him. The regularly scheduled 358 modified race, Chad Brockman getting by Larry Lampman on the last lap to win over him. Lampman, Rudolph, Tim Jones, and Ryan Susie. Tony Kelly in the Mini Stocks. Rob Murray, second win of the weekend. He won in the Hoosier Stocks. Brent Bigelow winning in both the Mod Lights and the Sportsman. Tonight, Humberstone Speedway, they've got a great show. All of their 5 regular classes, plus the crate sprints from Ashwiken Speedway. And those are... that is a big burgeoning class for the folks at Ashwiken Speedway, so they should have a good turnout. Speaking of Ashwiken, they, of course, had their big sprint car races Monday, Tuesday. Kyle Larson won the 360 sprint car race on Monday, and then Tuesday ran with the World of Outlaws. Kyle finishing fourth in that race. Logan Schuhart got the win at Ashwiken on Tuesday night. Ryan Susie did a heck of a job. Started 17th in a 360 sprint and wound up finishing 7th with the 410 sprint cars there Tuesday at the Ashwiken Speedway. Of course, last Sunday, Ransomville was scheduled to run the World of Outlaws, and things were going fine till about, I don't know, 5:45, and then Mother Nature just dumped on the track for about 20 minutes and kind of flooded the place out. So they have to reschedule, and that is going to be sometime in early to mid-October. There's a couple of weekends there early in October where the World of Outlaws will be kind of up back in the Northeast, and they're just looking to pick a date with the folks from Ransomville Speedway, so stay tuned on that. Before we go and get you to Sal and Nate over at Bill's Training Camp, round one of qualifying in the books at Pocono, Martin Truex was fastest, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, Jamie McMurray, and Eric Jones were the top 5. A couple of cars had to bump in right at the last minute, including Dale Jr. and Danica, so they move on to round two. Eric Almirola was the first car out of round one, so he will start 25th today, but they still have 2 more rounds of qualifying to go to set the field for today's race at Pocono. Again, you can hear that right here on WGR starting at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you next week from Watkins Glen, whether it's Like I said, won't be a live show, but we'll either have some interviews from the Glen that morning or might just record something during the week. But either way, should be a great show next Sunday. And then stay tuned on next Sunday to WGR550.com and our Twitter, FastTrack550. We'll have lots of content from the Glen throughout the day next Sunday as well, too. So I hope you tune in and follow us as well, too. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.